Sorry we're late. We had a little technical difficulty. This episode should have been released this morning.
But oops. Turns out we're in the motherland, so...
I was going to say, we're drunk, but this time we're actually not drunk.
We're at our dad's house.
Where we're going to live now, because we are tired of being adults and we don't want to pay rent.
Right, so we just told them we're going to move in. You know, drywall and, like, 2x4s, I wouldn't say they're cheap now because, you know, everything's gone up. But I'm just going to put it up in the living room and make myself a bedroom.
You know, I was thinking just one of those, like, Japanese paper privacy screens.
You know, there's enough room in the backyard. I'm going to put a trailer. I'm going to live in the trailer. It's going to be awesome. Dad's going to love it.
Oh, by the way, we're in Utah.
Yeah. For those who don't know where the motherland is.
We're in Mormon country.
Where it all started.
Cheers.
Cheers.
We're drinking water. but we're not going to leave you empty-handed. We do have something great for Mormon Corner. Oh, actually, let's shout out to our patrons.
Hey, patrons.
Patrons, thanks so much.
You guys are rad. Thanks for making me want to do this.
Our special swag for you is the prototype ring is still not arrived yet. It turns out it takes a little time, so.
It's coming from China.
It's not, it might be coming from China. It's not coming from China, it's coming from Amazon, which means it's probably coming from China. Anyways, thank you very much.
You guys are the bitchinest bitches. Maybe, I don't know, whatever. I'm sober.
So, Mormon Corner. We're traveling through Zion.
Right. Like, wait, what do we have for Mormon Corner? Correct.
Just like the pioneers did in my luxury sedan. Is it a sedan? I don't know what you'd call it. It's a crossover.
Just like
the pioneers did.
Just like the pioneers.
And we're getting hungry and we're in Utah and it's
111 degrees out.
Yeah, very hot. We still got a ways to go, so we decide we're going to get some food, and it's like all Jack in the Boxes and McDonald's and the
no
same.
Taco Time somehow, which is it's like a cross between Taco Bell and I don't know what else.
But it's like a homemade Taco
But it's Bell. Like a homo, yeah, so like if Taco Bell was better and a little bit more homemade, that'd be Taco Time.
Me and two of my sisters have both worked at Taco Time, so we know the secrets of how right. It's made.
Was not me. So I still like to eat there. Anyway, there were none of those that were available to us. So we decided to stop in the city of Beaver.
Beaver, Utah. And there's a little place called Beaver Taco, and it looks homemade and kind of ghetto and shitty. And
which usually means delicious.
Yeah, I was going to say California. A little hole in the wall. Actually, almost anywhere. A little hole in the wall Mexican place. Kind of almost guaranteed to be good.
This was not that at all. It was terrible. I mean, the fact it was called Beaver Taco should have been the first indication that we shouldn't eat there. But here we are.
I mean, and we're kind of like, you know, obviously this podcast is very lowbrow and we're like a couple of 11-year-old boys.
Yeah, pretty much.
So we're like, Beaver Taco. Let's go there.
You know what I didn't do was buy I Love Beaver stickers. Oh, you know what? I have an idea, but I'll tell you later.
Okay. So I don't know. How would you describe the food at Beaver Taco?
Gross.
It was like... I think my exact words were, this is the Utahest burrito you could ever get.
That was in fact Utah. What you said. Well, picture it. It has a drive-thru, which is weird, because it seems like it should have a drive-thru kind of building, but...
They make you turn off your car because they can't hear you through the speaker.
Right. I see enchiladas, and I'm like, I want enchiladas. You can't screw up an enchilada, right? Manny's like, how would you eat an enchilada in the car? Because it's not like we're getting out. Because, yeah, we've got the dog. It's 111 degrees. We don't want to take him into the restaurant. So, against my better judgment, I said, I'll show you. It's going to work out great. Mandy got a California burrito, which is beef, French fries. What's in there? Beans.
That was pretty much it.
It was just beef and French fries. But there should be more than that in there. There should be
and
beans.
Cheese.
And cheese. Well, yeah, that's right. There was cheese in there.
But it was like the cheese. None of the cheese was melted, and the beef was like... old dumpster beef.
Right. It was like if you overworked your ground beef for like, I don't know, let's say a stew or something where it just You're just getting granules of beef, not even chunks of beef.
The dog wouldn't even eat it.
Yeah, the dog wasn't into it. My enchiladas, not melted. They were hot as hell on the edges. The inside, the cheese was not melted at all.
And then we got a quesadilla too, which ended up being the only thing that was mildly edible, but it was literally hotter than the sun.
Right, and just soaking in all of the grease. You know, and like cheese just has that grease in it.
We had some salsa to dip it in, which tasted just like that paste picante, thick and chunky sauce you get at the regular grocery store.
Oh, yeah. But I did have a carnitas taco that wasn't terrible.
Okay.
But I gave half of it to the dog because he was super stoked on it.
So if you ever find yourself in Beaver, Utah.
Don't go there.
And you're like, Beaver taco. just take a picture and move on.
Right.
Go to Jack in the Box.
Oh, yeah. It was, and we just felt like shit the rest of the day, too. Like, just like, oh, you know, like, I was slightly hungover previous to that because we had stayed in Mesquite. Because, you know, to get from Orange County to Logan, Utah is about 11 hours, give or take.
9 to 11, depending on how fast you drive.
Right? So we're like, you know what? Mesquite's halfway. Let's stop there. We don't need to rush into anything. And so, of course, we drank all the booze that we had. Because we're smart. And so it's not super hungover in the morning, but, you know, a little hungover. And so by the time we got into Beaver, I was just like, I feel fine. No big deal. As soon as I ate that food, it was like a hangover from hell somehow. It just reappeared. I'm like, how does that happen? Yeah, grease food is supposed to do the opposite for your hangover.
Hours later, I was like, I don't feel good.
Right? Nothing good about that. And then when we did finally show up in Logan, our dad was like, well, we were going to go to La Tienda? No.
Oh, La Tormenta.
La Tormenta.
Which is delicious.
Delicious Mexican food. He's like, well, if you guys already had Mexican, we're like, no, 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 you don't get it. It was horrible. We barely ate it. We need good Mexican food to make this bad Mexican food go away.
I wouldn't even call that Mexican food. I don't know. That some sort of
Mormon surprise.
Yeah. anyway, Beaver Taco. Thumbs down.
Thumbs. I repent for eating half of what I ate there.
That's a good one. I didn't think about repenting for anything. Well, let's see. Cool shit.
Well, the January 6th Commission is pretty cool. I mean, it's cool that they're actually doing something because for the last year, I just thought everybody was going to get away with everything. And it looks like maybe not everybody will. You know, people who voted to try and keep everything so that this wouldn't happen should be heavily looked into.
Absolutely.
Just the corruption is insane.
I feel weird saying that it's cool shit because it's so infuriating to watch and emotional.
Right, totally. Like, I'm not a big crier, but, like, I'm like, I kept getting all choked up trying to talk to Manny because the first hearing was when we were in Mesquite. I'm like, I'm just so angry. I gotta go. Give me a drink.
And we've often talked about, you know, how, like, because we like shooting guns. Shooting guns is fun.
Right.
There's, you know, obviously we're not the kind of people who think just any 18-year-old crazy person should be able to walk into a Walmart and buy an AR-15.
Right.
But, like, you know, there's a point where, you know, people should be able to have guns, but you should have to have some sort of a background check.
Training.
Mental health evaluation of some sort.
Just like your driver's license has to be renewed every couple years.
You should be able to prove that you can responsibly own a gun, in my opinion. Now, that being said, we've talked, you know, a little bit here and there about how, you know, oh, we should go to Arizona and get a gun. Well, because you can't, it's very difficult to get one in California legally.
Well, no, because they've got regulations.
Yeah. And then, but Arizona, you can just walk into anywhere and buy one. So we're like, I don't want to wait. Let's go buy a gun. You know, kind of half joking around. We've never actually done it. But then we're sitting here watching the January 6th Commission being like, maybe I shouldn't have a gun. Because I feel like if I had a gun and I was in that situation, I would start shooting people.
Right.
I would start shooting these racist, bigot, asshole motherfuckers. And I would be killed.
Right.
Because I'm outnumbered.
Right.
Absolutely. I don't know if I could control myself. That's how angry I was.
Right, which is why we shouldn't have guns.
I know, I'm just walking them through our process.
No, I know. That's why I'm saying most people shouldn't have guns, because I don't think most people have the rational, no, I don't know, not rational, but you know what I mean? Like, you overcome emotional. By emotional. Yeah, and like you, and when you think you're right, you think you're right.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, ugh, gross.
Yeah, that is a fact. You know what else is cool? So when we got here, a few hours, 18 hours earlier, a U-Haul had been stopped in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. that was full of 31 white supremacists.
Wow.
On their way to a pride parade.
So, I'm so, I forgot, I kind of read the headline, but I they were in the U-Haul.
They were in the U-Haul. So what happened was, these are part of the Patriot Front. So do you remember back the Tiki Torch Parade where that girl got killed in Charlottesville, Virginia?
There was khaki pants.
Yes. And that's what these guys were wearing too.
Of course.
It was a group called Vanguard or something like that. America, whatever. And so after that event happened, those groups kind of splintered off and started their own groups. And Patriot Front is one of them. And so these are Patriot Front people. And they're mostly from, like, the West Coast. But there's, like, a guy from Texas, somebody from Michigan. But they're from all over. So they were, like, planning this via whatever their group.
Right.
Social, you know, whatever it is.
Just some in Oregon. I actually went through the whole list of all their names and where they're from.
Yeah, lots in Utah, Oregon, Washington.
Idaho.
Yeah. So anyways, so what happened was, they don't have a lot of weapons, but they have some weapons, but they have a lot of tactical gear, shields.
Right.
You know, some, like, riot gear, basically.
Right.
And somebody saw them they were all staying at the same hotel. Somebody saw 31 people getting into the back of a U-Haul dressed like an army.
Right.
And thankfully called the cops. You know?
Nice.
And the cops pulled them over and arrested everybody and started... Actually, the reason I even found out about this was somebody had tweeted this image of one of the guys getting the white hood pulled off of his head by the cops.
And the spit guard.
Yeah, and the caption was just like, it was so funny. It was like, my favorite part of this is when they pulled the mask off Scooby-Doo style to reveal the white supremacist underneath.
Would have gotten away with it too, but with those...
For those concerned American citizens trying to protect themselves.
Right.
But yeah, I thought that was really crazy. And then I couldn't figure out where it was, where the pride parade that they were attacking was, because it's June, it's Pride Month.
Coeur d'Alene is what I read,
Yeah, Coeur d'Alene, which, you know, used to be the Aryan Nations. Did you know anything about that? So when I was a kid in Logan, in high school, there was white supremacists around here, and, you know, I'm ashamed to admit that some of those guys were, like, our friends.
Oh.
And, you know, we followed them around a little bit. And they had the drugs. They were older than us. And we were impressionable young kids, and they had the drugs. One of my friends got pregnant by one of them at a very young age, you know, and had a baby really young. But, so anyways, those guys were hanging around Logan, too. But the Coeur d'Alene was, like, the headquarters. It was the Aryan Nation's headquarters.
Ew.
So everybody knew that that was, like... We just thought the whole town was, like, this racist town in Idaho. It turns out that's not true. And the town was sort of held prisoner by this compound. But, yeah, they had this big compound at Hayden Lake. And it was this guy who, you know what, I forget his name, but I'm going to get it for you as I'm talking. So the leader of the Aryan Nations, his name was Richard Butler. He was a former aerospace engineer who... wanted to create, like, a whites-only homeland in the Pacific Northwest. And he was the, like, father figure of the American neo-Nazi movement. So he was, he had a lot of money and a lot of power. And he was, like, super racist. So he kind of, like, basically, you know, propelled this movement. And he had this huge compound. And this woman and her son were leaving a wedding one night. And I think they were... They maybe had the mother was like half Native American or something, but they were leaving the wedding and for some reason they had to stop. I think something had fallen out of the car. They had to pick up the thing. And as they were leaving the car, they were in backfired and they were near they were outside of the compound on the road outside of the compound headed home. And so this truck full of these Aryan Nations dudes came after them and basically ran them off the road and like pulled her out of the car and was like holding a gun to her head and, you know, asking her if she was Native and just all this shit and traumatizing her. And, you know, she's just like, I'm white. You know, she'd lie and say like she was a white farm girl. I'm with you guys. I'm a racist too. You know, so that looking at her son's face, like trying not to get both of them murdered.
Right.
So it was this like huge deal. I think it was the Southern Poverty Law Center, SPLC. Yeah. Okay, Southern Poverty Law Center. So they actually sued. They're like, oh my God, this is perfect. Like, they, you know, that's illegal. They've traumatized them. The compound tried to say like, oh, these guys were just drunk and acting on their own, which is like, you know, those guys don't get drunk. They're like a little militia, well-disciplined militia organization. Like none of them do that. So that didn't hold up. But basically they were able to win like, in this high millions, like 6 million or 16 million or something like that.
Yeah.
And they were able to bankrupt the whole organization.
Good.
And the property was awarded to the victims, who gave it to this like philanthropist who donated it to the university. So now it's like a lab for students or whatever.
Oh, that's nice.
But first they donated it to the, I think it was the fire department or somebody, so that they could use it as a training ground, and they burned it all down.
Yes.
So there's this like picture of a, like one of the buildings with a giant, you know, swastika painted on the top of it. And they're like smashing it with a crane and setting it on fire, and it's amazing.
Oh, I love it.
But yeah, it was like, it went from thinking that like this whole town is, you know, just this racist town, to realizing that there was just this little compound and none of the people in the town wanted them there, but they couldn't do anything about
right.
it.
Right.
You know?
No, that makes sense. Well, that's interesting.
Yeah. Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. That's what I know about
Good.
It.
Good. Well, I'm glad that they have pride parades, and I'm glad that nothing bad happened.
Yeah. Well, nothing too bad happened. I'm sure some bad things did happen there, but
right.
it's
well,
over
I mean,
now.
At least for the pride parade part.
Oh, right. Yeah, I see. Yeah, definitely.
This motherfucker?
I was hoping we could talk about Top Gun some more, because
we're
with our sister Tiffany as well, but she's not feeling like recording today, but don't worry, we're going to get her on for you guys.
Maybe we'll get her to do 1.5 stars.
That would be wonderful. 1.5 stars to... Top no, she
Maverick?
Would, she would give 0.5 stars.
That's true, but it's called 1.5 stars. She gave 1.5 stars to Cloudburst, so I think that is the minimum.
Okay, fine. 1.5 stars to Top. We're looking at her right now. She's saying
Cloudburst did not get 1.5 stars.
What did Cloudburst get?
0. It was the worst move I've ever seen.
How many stars would Top Gun Maverick get?
5.
Okay, she's saying 0.75 stars for Top Gun Maverick. Let's see. This motherfucker. I feel like we kind of just covered that.
It's true. I was going to say
that. Took us off onto a tangent.
I say both of our cool shit and this motherfucker, I think, are combined. It's cool that nothing happened, but this motherfucker for having to even talk about it in the first place.
Right. Yeah, I feel like there's a ton of, like you were saying, a ton of cool shit coming out about the January 6th committee, that, you know, people are starting to like show up for their subpoenas. I just read something about how Mark Meadows, former secretary, was basically, you know, she was appointed a Trump lawyer.
Right.
And she's like, you know what, I'm going to get my own lawyer. And no, thank you. And now she's cooperating with the committee. So
Perfect.
Stuff like that's happening,
right.
which is pretty cool. It's finally like you were saying, you know. It relieving to see that somebody's actually fucking doing something about it.
Right. And, like, it's one of those things, too, where it's, like, you think nothing's happening forever, and then all of a sudden it's starting to come together.
Mm-hmm.
And then you realize why they couldn't announce what they were doing, because if you announce the names that were cooperating, Trump would then try to either blackmail them or do something. So it's, like, they couldn't tell the public what they're doing, and that's
mm-hmm.
why it took so long.
Mm-hmm. Or put pressure on them.
Right, exactly. Like, one of the guys was saying, like, if you... Like, the guy who didn't show up to court today because his wife went into labor, was like, well, you know, it could be an actual family emergency, or it could be that Trump leaned on him and said, if you do this, you'll never have a political career again, you know, with the GOP, which, you know, really at this point, do you even want one?
Right. I mean, the Arkansas governor, who's a Republican, he has a quote saying, you know, Trump's politically and morally responsible for the insurrection, and we need to, all Republicans need to start doing some soul searching. So
right.
that's coming from Arkansas.
Right. And Marco Rubio, he just tweeted saying that, you know, Americans need to be focusing on what really matters, which is inflation and gas prices, and not the January 6th shit. And it's like, fuck you. One of the reasons the gas prices are so high is because of price gouging, because these gas companies are having record highs currently,
uh-huh.
and when they tried to pass a bill saying you couldn't price gouge with the gasoline, almost all Republicans voted against it.
Because that's where they're getting their money from.
I'm aware of that, and I hope everybody's aware
they're
of
not,
that.
They're not. I've been kind of like going back and forth with one of our cousins, who is actually probably like one of our coolest cousins on the side.
Right.
It's full of the not cooler ones. I don't know how to say that.
She's but still practicing crazy.
They're all fine. They're nice people, but they have a lot of really whacked out ideas, you know?
Right.
And he has, you know, lived in different places in the world and has a little bit more like of a what life is like outside of this tiny bubble that we're in right now.
Right.
But, like, he's posting stuff like, I forget, something about, you know, Biden's America and the gas prices. And I'm like, you can't possibly believe that the president sets the price of gas. Like, don't be stupid.
Well, they're trying to say because they shut down the pipelines. So, like, for instance, the big Dakota pipeline that should have never been in there in the first place, right? They're like, well, they shut down the pipeline, so now we're not getting our own oil. And it's like, how has that ever mattered? Why is this mattering now? It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's just, it's a, hey, look at the shiny object over here. Yeah. Don't pay attention to this.
What matters is the people in charge are making money. A lot of money.
Follow the money.
Follow the fucking money. It doesn't have anything to do with the president.
Right. And it didn't have anything to do with the president when George Bush was in office, yeah. when there was a war going on.
And furthermore, I don't think we've ever talked about, well, maybe we've talked about it a little bit, but my friend Scott and I had a conversation at a bar one time, and it was just the way that he explained it to me was just so simple and enlightening about, like, the cyclical nature of politics and how it's always, you know, you get Republicans for a little while, then you get Democrats for a little while, then you get Republicans, you know, and it just, that's how the party works, or right. that's how the system works. And it's like, when the Democrats are in office, things are more expensive, people are paying more taxes because things are getting fixed, because we need roads and we need infrastructure and we need money to do this shit, right? And don't get me wrong, the Democrats are not
great
by any means, right. but they're, it's like the lesser of two evils. So, like, things start happening, and then the effects of those good things that are happening are basically starting to take hold by the time that everyone's getting frustrated with paying so much money, and they vote the Republicans in who are gonna lower taxes and blah, blah, blah. So then the Republicans come into a really good situation and a really good economy, and they're like, because it's taken 4 years at least to build that up, right?
Right, right.
So then they come in.
Because nothing's immediate.
Yeah, then they come in, and everything's good, and everyone's like, this is why the Republicans are so great, because look at how great everything is. And they start dismantling it and fucking it up till we get to the point where we're so frustrated that everything's fucked up that we vote the Democrats back in. And it just, if you look back into the beginning,
right.
well, I mean, obviously, like, the Democrats and the Republicans used to be opposite.
Right, right, right.
But that's how it works. That's how it's always worked, and that's how it's going to continue to work. And
with a two-party system.
If you can't see that, you're an idiot.
Right. No, it's painfully obvious. Like,
yeah.
And again, but now, whereas before, it seemed like more people maybe benefited from the tax cuts. Now it's only conglomerate corporations and billionaires. Not millionaires, billionaires. And I've said it a million times, and I will keep saying it a million more times, is the difference between a million and a billion is extremely important. A million seconds is a week and a half. A billion seconds, and Google it. I had to Google. When I heard that, I was like, wow, that's crazy. Let me Google it. It's right. A billion seconds is 32 years. The difference between a million and a billion is a fuck ton. And so when you're having billionaires, multi-billionaires, who are getting tax breaks, and nobody else, the middle class, gets shit, fuck that.
Objection. Leading the witness. Here's the... No, I'm just kidding.
Overruled.
Okay, let's hear a word from our sponsors. And then we'll come back and tell a story that we just experienced.
Having problems keeping family home evening exciting and fun? Well, never fear. Tree of Life Games is here to keep your family entertained with our new board game. Hint, similar to a game that's been around since 1948, but tailored to the good people like us, Hint is a game of murder, mystery, and deceit. The goal? Figure out who killed Joseph Smith with what weapon in what room. Was it Brigham Young with a pair of garments in the library? Was it Mitt Romney with a Book of Mormon in the conservatory? Or was it Marie Osmond with a jello mold in the food storage cellar? Your family will have the time of their lives as they try to solve the mystery of Hint. That's Hint from Tree of Life Games.
Family Home Evening with Bad Mormons listeners get 10% off your first purchase. Just use the promo code Brimley at checkout. It's the right thing to do and a tasty way to do it.
And we're back!
Welcome back! So, our mother lives in a tiny town in Idaho that's just celebrated their, like, founding Father's Day.
Right.
And
so, to the time that they found the city.
Yeah.
The city. 300 people, mind you. There's only 300 and it's in the stick, like the sticks of just like, there's a big farm. There's a lot of farms.
There's a lot of farmland out there.
Not a lot of houses.
Yeah. It's southern Idaho. So there's like, you know, there's big dairy farms and just tons of farms all over the place. But that's that community. It's like a little farming community.
Right.
And so we go out there and we're with our, you know, little nieces and nephews and our, you know, brother and some family, some like neighbors were there, and we're having a little picnic, and it's like, it's kind of like a 4th of July sort of vibe.
But total 4th of July vibe. It's got bounce houses.
Yeah. Yeah. So in the park.
Oh,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I was talking about that at our mom's house.
Oh yeah.
So,
yeah.
But then we can hear the loudspeakers going on at the park. And so we walk over there to see what, you know, what the Founders Day like event is like for the
town. Our mother refuses to go to it, by the way. She's like, we're like, Mom, why don't you just come with us? No, people will want to talk to me. And honestly, I don't think people do want to talk to her.
Yeah, she's a very antisocial farm woman.
But doesn't have a farm. She's a farm of cats.
So we walk with the kids, and I've got my dog, who's now 126 years old in human years. Dog years, he's 18.
No, in human years, he's 18. In dog years, he's 100.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. Yeah. I'll reverse it. So, yeah, my 126-year-old dog, I'm pushing him in a stroller because it's hot outside and he can't walk.
We should have put the fan around his neck.
We should have.
Oh, well, we're still here for another week, so.
We'll repent.
Yeah.
So we get there, yeah, and then go on. Now go into the bouncy houses.
Okay, so now, you know, you get there, there's a big, like, yard. It's probably like their rec center, maybe. And there's, like, 5 bouncy houses. One's a water slide. And, you know, the kids immediately kick their shoes off and just go play on the bouncy slides. Cool, great, whatever. You know, that's...
Yeah, we're like, oh, this is fun. This is actually kind of a cool little thing.
Right, they've got some music going, a lot of disco, which I thought was weird. But,
hundreds and hundreds of children, like, more children than the town could possibly provide
Well, I guess, for. Right, it's like a... Half, 150 children minimum, half of the town. And there's, I think there's places where you can like buy sodas and things like that, but there's not a whole lot. I think they had a raffle at some point, but like we didn't really look at that so much. But the announcer guy starts talking about, it's like, everybody get ready. You know, George is about to fly over with candy. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah, this was 5 minutes after we walked onto the grassy field park area.
Right. And we're like, oh, okay, that's cool. And sure enough, this plane starts flying down low. Like one of those, like, I think it'd be like a plane that you would dust crops with, maybe.
Maybe, yeah.
Something like that. And all these kids are just running and freaking out. And sure, he drops a shit ton of candy, only he misses the field and hits all the cars, which I thought was hilarious.
And the houses.
And the houses, right. So I'm sure there's a lot of candy on somebody's roofs.
Yeah. He didn't miss the field entirely, but he missed most of the field because where I was standing, luckily I had the sunshade over the stroller with the dog, but I mean, I got hit in the head with a sucker. Like
that's right. There was big fat suckers. Like the ones that how many licks does it take to get to the Tootsie Pop?
Yeah. Yeah. And this candy was just like pelting my dog in the stroller. And I was like, oh my God, what's happening? And then it went over the road and over the cars and then over the houses. Oh, he's coming back around.
He's
again.
Like, oh, well, maybe he'll miss the, he'll hit the mark this time. I filmed it. And sure enough, he went about 3 times. And honestly, if you think about it, it was really fun.
Yeah, it was
like,
cool.
Like, I appreciate the fact that lawsuits haven't ruined this for them yet. It will, eventually. And it's just some rich dude who lives in town, probably has more money than he knows what to do with. So he donated, you know, his time with the plane, the candy.
Yeah.
And, you know, usually, because I've been to a lot of these things where there's a lot of corporate kind of sponsorship, even if it's for a small, like Buy My Bikes, for instance, in San Juan Capistrano, always gives away a free bike. And then he has, like, a little thing where he gives away, like, candy or whatever.
Yeah.
But, like, there was no, like, he wasn't promoting anything that I knew about. The announcer didn't say it. He's just a guy who lives in town. So
the plane came over a few times. And but by this point... Like, after the first pass, the shock of the first pass, then we were like, this is actually kind of cool, like, dropping candy on kids. But then all the kids started, like, it was very Lord of the Flies.
Right.
It was like there was an alpha kid, and then all the kids, some kids didn't have anything because they weren't willing to, like, shove the other kids over to get the candy.
Right.
Some kids had bags of kids, and, like, our little nephew was crying because he didn't get a candy.
Right, and then there's adults with a bag of candy, too, that they'd, like... Seriously?
Yeah. Like, so then, and finally, like, after a few passes, like, our family had gotten some, so they, we were having them give some of the other kids
right, so that's
candy.
When I walked up, and I was like, you know, Rachel was, like, very much like, hey, now give, you know, give some of your
that
candy. The person didn't get any.
Yeah.
So, like, it's, I love that our family is usually looking out for the underdogs when we can.
Yeah, for sure.
But still, like, our nieces and nephews didn't get very many either.
Yeah.
Like...
So that's happening, and then, you know, that kind of ends, and then they start announcing that it's time for the adult games.
Right.
And with this guy on a loudspeaker, and we're like, okay, what's this about? And he's like, okay, all the married women, this one's for you.
No, he didn't even say the married woman yet. He said, we're going to do a frying pan throwing contest. He says it a few times, like, a fucking throwing pan, or frying pan contest? What the fuck is that? Now, all you married women, like, oh, single women can't play with your fucking, because we don't know how to cook, which is probably why we're not married, right?
Yeah, immediately when he was like, all the married women, I was like, oh, no.
And I'm so sad, because I went to film that, too, so we could maybe use some of it, but I couldn't get him on film saying it again. I don't know if he saw the camera out and that, you know, some weird girl with purple hair or rainbow hair is now filming him, but he... did not say married women again once my camera was out.
But the people in the town were just eating it up. And these are like big, heavy cast iron frying pans.
Yeah.
It's like a ring toss, but you have to toss the frying pan.
Sometimes it gets stuck in the grass.
But then the ladies were eating it up. And one thing he said was, he was like, ladies, now channel all that rage when your husband goes and buys a new motorcycle without telling you. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Is this for real? It's been a long time since I've been, you know, out here, but holy shit. So these ladies will come up, and then some of the ladies will try to up the ante, and they'll hold their baby on their hip in the frying pan in the other. And I was like, this is so bad.
This is so bad.
This is so sexist.
And then the men...
So that happened,
and then all of the men, it didn't matter whether they were married or not, could roll this big tire down a hill, but, like, I don't understand what the rules were, because you could keep pushing the tire.
It doesn't really matter, but the man one was, like, the tire rolling, and they're, like, for their, like, big pump-up speech, like, you know, channel all your energy from when you're, and I forget what he had said, but it was something so, like, you know... your boss didn't give you your paycheck on time or something, like, just normal.
Right.
That was just not, you know, a unisex sort of a thing.
Right.
Anyways, the whole thing was so problematic, but we were just like, we're in the middle of a farm in southern Idaho. Like,
right.
What do you fucking expect?
So, and then some awful woman, and again... she just, like, her whole job was to go make kids feel bad. I don't know.
I missed this part.
Oh, okay. So, well, I was sitting over. Oh, that's right. Because you had already decided to walk back. Because it was hot outside. The dog.
And I had a plan.
And Mandy had a plan, which we'll get to later. So, I'm sitting with Rachel and I think one of the kids. And then one of my nephews comes up. And he's like, that lady told me I had to get off. Apparently, I'm supposed to. And the reason he was upset was not so much that she was yelling at him, but that. He does not like breaking rules at all.
Yeah.
And so apparently we were supposed to pay $5 for a wristband for it, which we would have if anybody would have told us this or had a sign saying.
Anything.
I mean, literally, if you're going to charge for something, you have at least a sign out saying, get your wristband for $5 to play on the things. Like, that would have been easy. We would have done it. It wouldn't have been a big deal. But anyway, so now he's upset and we're like, oh, well, let's go get you a wristband or whatever. But he was really sweaty and, like, beet red.
Yeah.
And we're like... kind of at the point where, like, I don't know if you should be on the bounce house anymore. And she wasn't very nice about it either. And we asked him, like, was she nice about it? Was she kind of mean? She's like, she was kind of mean or whatever. And I was like, go get your shoes. So he goes back to go grab his shoes. And the lady was, like, talking to him again. So Casey goes over and is like, he's just trying to get his shoes. Like, she's trying to be like, hey, you can't go on that again, kind of a thing.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to get my shoes, lady. Anyway, she sucked.
Yeah. And then I decided to go... to Papa J's, which is the little convenience store right next to our mom's house. And I was like, and my dog's not doing so well in the heat. And I'm kind of worried. And, like, he's drinking a lot of water. Like I said, he's 126 years old. And so I was like, I wanted to get him in the air conditioning a little bit. But I was like, oh, I'll go buy a couple suckers, you know, like to, you know, give the kids or whatever. And then I had this idea while I was in there. So I bought, like, a bag of Twix, a bag of Starbursts, three little candy necklaces, three suckers, three Smarties, like three of all these different things. And I was like, so I took the dog home and then I started strategically placing them in our mom's driveway. So I just put like one really bright yellow Starburst at the, so that they would see it first thing as they're walking down the road.
Which they didn't see it, but I did.
And then, oh, and I had texted all the adults ahead of time too.
I didn't look at my phone.
And I was like, hey, BT Dubs, there's going to be some candy that the plane
dropped. That's not what she wrote. She wrote, I think the plane might have dropped some candy at mom's house, which could have been vague. But by the way, I still didn't see that text till later.
I assumed the adults would realize since I sent it that they would know that I put the candy in the driveway so that they would think it was safe for the children to eat.
So from my perspective, we're walking back.
Wait, let me finish. So anyway, well, that was pretty much the end. I put the candy so that they could see right at the entrance of the driveway. And then I tried to put like, because I gotten three of everything because there's three kids. So I, you know, tried to sprinkle those out a little bit so it would like, it wasn't a bunch of candy all at once. It was like sparse. And then when you got about halfway through the driveway, it just dumped all the bags of candy out. So, okay, sorry, go on.
Yeah, so I wish I would have known that because we decided to walk back to the house because, like I said, the kids were beet red, sweaty, gross. It was hot. So we're walking back and we get to the corner where we're getting onto the main street and I see one yellow Starburst. And I'm like, hey, you older child who's hanging out with me. I was like, do you see that yellow Starburst? I wonder if the plane dropped or if my kid dropped it. And he went to go get it. I was like, oh, I wouldn't pick that up though. Gross. Because again, I don't know where it came from.
That's why I texted you.
You should have texted clearer. And then I didn't really see any of the other candy walking, and I don't think the other kids picked them up, so I think that
No, might... they were mostly at the driveway.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I just put that one there.
When I get in the driveway, I see all the kids are, like, picking up candy, and they're like, oh, the plane did miss. That guy's got the worst aim ever. And so I'm helping the kids pick it up, and, like, I'm putting it in, like, one of the other kids' like shirt. I'm like, here, use it as a basket because your hands get so full, whatever. Anyways, it was fun, and I'm just sitting there thinking, I'm like, well, there's none over there on the right. There's none to the left. There's none down the driveway further down. What kind of plane does that? Like, this, I'm so confused.
And I'm thinking she's, like, playing along with the joke that I've planted because the kids were like, how did this candy get here? And I was like, I think there was too much in the plane. It maybe slipped out the sides, you know, because the park's behind our mom's house.
And then that's when I looked at her. I was like, well, why wouldn't it be anywhere else? And then she just gave me a look, and I was like, oh, God, I'm an idiot.
I was like, really, Charlotte?
Listen, it wasn't, well, described or explained to me. Shut up.
Yeah, so that was fun. Had a bonfire where our mom decided to burn some of her mother's things at random.
That was a fun bonfire, though. I'll give her credit for that.
Yeah, it was pretty fun. They were, like, bringing out all the garbage and trash and stuff to burn, and then some of the kids were bringing out, like, a blanket and stuff, and mom grabbed the blanket from the kid. She's like, no, let me do that one. I looked at Charlotte, I was like, I bet you that's grandma's.
Sure. Oh, she also wanted to burn styrofoam.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and she was packing material from whatever the cardboard boxes she had. I'm like, I was not yelling at the kids, but I was like, hey, wait, hold on. Let me take, you know, that styrofoam packing stuff out first before you throw the cardboard on the fire. And she's like, it's fine. I'm like, yeah, no, not happening. Oh, it's fine. I was like, don't breathe it in, because she had already thrown a styrofoam cup in there. But yeah, anyways, yeah. Maybe, yeah. But she also burnt one of your old blankets,
oh,
too.
Yeah, real old tapestry blanket thing from the 90s.
I was like, and then she ran out of things to burn, then the fireworks started. So that was awesome.
We did run around the fire. So mom's, like, one neighbor friend was there.
Right.
And we did all run around the fire. We have this, like, weird chant that we do. Not because we're in a cult. But we like to watch this cartoon called Space Ghost Coast to Coast.
Right.
And this one thing just stuck. So whenever all the family gets together, we start doing this, like, stupid chant from the cartoon. But so we're all, I don't know how it happened, but we all started, like, one of the kids started running around the bonfire, the circle of the bonfire. So the whole family started running around. We're chanting and putting our fists up in the air. I'm sure mom's friend was just like, who are these weirdo people?
I wonder if we embarrassed mother.
Oh, probably.
Excellent. But yeah, it was kind of great. Because the thing is, well, running is just a lot. But then also, you know, yelling while you're running, it was very tiring. So when we kind of just stopped, one of the children was like, the ritual is complete.
Just unprompted.
Right? No, so good. The kid is so funny.
Yeah. Oh, and we also forgot to mention, we had a little picnic, some hot dogs and stuff, and it was fun. And then we had, I feel like my Utah accent is coming out being here. Is it just me?
When I said shut up earlier, it was like, shut up. I'm like, oh God, now here it is. But you can't enunciate when you're in Utah,
I
apparently.
Guess not. Anyways, we had some ambrosia salad.
Oh, yeah.
Which I fucking love.
It was disgusting.
So it's good.
Like, it's Cool Whip, mini marshmallows.
Coconut,
tangerine, but like canned tangerine. So it's canned
mandarin
fruit.
Mandarin slices.
Yeah, so it's mandarin, pineapple, whatever, and whatever's in that trio of fruit that's in a can.
Yeah.
And then Marciano cherries, which are disgusting. Yeah, it was gross. But I got some because, you know, it's what you do while you're here.
It's what you do. So anyway, the end of the celebration's coming, and they have this fireworks show, which was legit.
It was like a proper 4th of July fireworks show for any town of multiple thousands of people.
Yeah, like a normal town thing.
Not 300. So apparently, yeah, somebody in town who's got a lot of money, you know, donated his plane. He flew over and donated the candy. And then also donated these fireworks. No sponsorship, by the way. Like, no, like, hey, come down to the lumberyard that I own. Like,
yeah,
just a guy with a lot of money, which I thought, again, very, very cool. But, like, that never happens.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the music choice I thought was also very funny. So it starts off with
YMCA.
And then we built the city on rock and roll. And I'm just, like, looking at Manny going, I wonder if they would build a city on rock and roll, because this isn't it with your frying pan throwing contest. And then Proud to be American.
Some country bullshit.
Yeah, it's an awful country song. And then what was the last? Oh, no, the last song was Proud to be American, which Mom told us was going to be Coming to America by Neil Diamond, but, you know,
we made
apparently
a dance and everything.
Right, but apparently maybe they ran out of fireworks. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it was awesome. And then,
yeah. But the best part was, so one of our little nephews, who's just the one who said the ritual is complete. Yeah, I don't know where he comes up with this stuff, but
he's
so
his father's
clever.
Son.
Yeah. And he's just like, aren't fireworks illegal? Like, it's not the 4th of July yet. I think fireworks are illegal if it's not the 4th of July. And then I forget exactly how he worded it, but it was basically the gist was, this town, it's like, they can do whatever they want. They can light fireworks when it's not the 4th of July. They can bomb children with candy. Just like, the fireworks are going up, and he's like making it sound like this big war scene.
Right. Because it kind of felt like a war scene. I mean, when planes are that low, and again, being bombed with candy, he wasn't wrong on that. And then just fireworks.
Just blowing
so
up the shit out of that finale was insane.
It was crazy. Crazy awesome.
Yeah, Southern Idaho. That's what we're doing.
Listen, I want to come back every year for it.
I do too.
We can, not that Mom's Barbecue wasn't awesome, but we could do better next year.
Yeah. Yeah. And we'll practice throwing frying pans, and we'll join the contest.
I'm going to get my Sarah Connor arms. It's going to be awesome. I actually do have something for cool shit.
Oh, yeah.
Not cool shit. Sorry. How to be excellent to each other.
Let's hear it.
So we're really good, and actually probably not as good as we should be, about writing our congressmen and things when we don't like something. But write them when they're doing something right.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of tell them, hey, listen, you know what? I saw the way you voted on that thing, and I really liked it. Positive reinforcement.
That's really good.
Right?
Yeah.
I thought so.
Be excellent.
I've been following this this account on Instagram. Let me see what her name is so other people can follow her. So her Instagram handle is Sharon, Sharon, says so, Sayso. So Sharon says so. So she's an American government teacher. And so she goes over a lot of the things that she can explain things better about what's happening at the government and how to better represent or not, you know, talk to your representatives, things of that nature. But anyway, she has a lot of Instagram-like posts that give you daily reminders on good things to do.
I'm going to go follow her right now.
Great idea. And if you want to come follow us, you can head on over to our Instagram, Pinterest, TikTok, Twitter.
Of course, we're always looking for likes and subscribes on our YouTube channel.
You head on over to Apple Podcasts, leave us a review, helps people find us.
We have merch for sale. If you head to our Linktree, it's our TeePublic site, and it's on all of our social medias.
If you can think it, we can put a logo on it.
We're going to be in the land of Zion for another 2 weeks, so get ready for a lot more fun stories. And we'll see you next week, hopefully on time.
See ya, bye.